Well, this week I heard a definition of charisma that was a little different. This definition went like that. Charisma is when people around you feel good about themselves. Now, that's different than what we usually think of as charisma. Usually when someone's charisma, I think of someone who's, you know, got this energy that they're sharing. But this is a different approach to charisma. It's that when the people around you feel special about themselves. And there was a story that was tied into it, a story about years ago in England. There was a woman who had been invited to a dinner party where the Prime Minister, William Gladstone, was. And when she came back from the dinner party, one of her friends asked her, well, how was the party? She said, oh, it was delightful. I got to sit next to Mr. Gladstone, and I felt like I was next to the most interesting person in the room. Well, a number of years later, she was invited to another party. This time, Benjamin Disraeli was the Prime Minister of England, and she had the opportunity to sit next to him at the dinner party. And when she came home from that party, her friend asked her again, well, how was the party? She said, oh, it was wonderful. I got to sit next to Disraeli. I felt as if I was the most interesting person in the world. A difference there, isn't it? Between thinking that he was interesting and her feeling that she was the most interesting person. That's charisma. That's what real charisma is. It's about that sense of love that we have that we are so sure of for ourselves that it's easy for us to let it flow out into the people around us, into the circumstances around us, and to live as that love. Now, the scripture that we have today starts with this word instead, which means that something came before it, right? And what Paul says in his letter here to the Ephesians is that we are no longer infants. It's time for us to grow up. He says, instead of being infants, he says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things, that means all the things of our lives, grow up into him who is the head, the Christ. So speaking the truth in love, we're growing up into the Christ expression. That's what God made us for. Many times we've heard, you know, that we're miserable sinners. That's not the way God made us. God made us in the image and likeness of the Christ, and we're meant to grow up into that and to recognize that we are done being infants. And even in our human experience, we still make mistakes. We don't always live up to that potential, but we're created to grow up into that. And the word that in Greek that's translated here as head, What it means is the growing edge of something, that part that is emerging into something else. And so we think of Jesus, sometimes he's called the first fruits of the sons and daughters of God. That's that lead that's calling us to grow up into that. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, the things that I do, you can do too, and greater things will you do. So we're called to grow up into that Christ expression in our own lives. And so the part of that, my lesson is titled God's Love Grows, and there's a sense that we want to think about God's love growing in me, but in another sense, we want to think about that it's growing me. It's growing me up into this spiritual maturity. It's growing me up into this Christ expression. It's growing all of us in it. So let's say this together. God's love grows in me and it grows me. Let's say that together. Love grows in me and it grows me. So the affirmation that's actually in the bulletin is, I grow in Christ's love. Let's say that together. I grow in Christ's love. And now let's change one word, and let's say, I grow as Christ's love. Let's say that. I grow as Christ's love. That's the invitation that we have to work and to live in that. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to live as that, then first of all, if you're going to grow something, you need to select the right seeds, don't you? If you have some cucumber seeds and you plant them in the ground and the plant grows, what do you expect to get from those? Cucumbers, right? And if right next to it you plant some tomato seeds and the plant grows from that, what do you expect to go from that? Cucumbers? No, you expect it to be tomatoes. So we have to look at what the seeds are that we're selecting for growing our life. So what pattern will direct your growth? Depends on the seeds. And the seeds are the thoughts that we have, the principles, the values that we live by. Because when we select the right seeds, what will grow out of that will be the life that we're looking for. If we select seeds that aren't a part of that pattern, we're not going to get them. We can't expect to get tomatoes out of a cucumber plant. It's just not going to happen. And so if we want to have the experience of God's love in our lives, then we have to be planting those seeds of love in our consciousness and in our activities as we're moving through life. And that pattern of that seed that it grows into that fullness that we want to lay hold of is that Christ pattern of love. that sees beyond circumstances, that sees beyond conditions, that sees beyond someone's past, and says, instead, we're going to grow in love up into the fullness that is the Christ in our lives. Now, this past Friday, we did our memorial here for Pat Hunter, and we had a very interesting group of people collected here, and some of her neighbors. And one of her neighbors said something that was very interesting to me. She said that she moved in a neighborhood after Pat was there. One of the first things that happened, a day or so after she was there, Pat came and knocked on the door and gave her cookies. She said she'd lived lots of places before. She'd never had neighbors come and give her cookies. She said, Pat taught me how to be a neighbor because I'd never seen that before. And so here it was, Pat knew who she was and she was living that out. And because she was living that out, the seeds of that were taken into other people's lives and they grew and blossomed as well. And so that pattern that we live out is so important for ourselves. One of the lines that Maria sang in her solo part in that choir piece there was about profit. You know, that profit gets thin if it's not filled by love. And one person has put it this way, that we need to make a choice about our purpose in life. Is it about profit? Or is it about making the world a better place? Because if we make our life about profit, we can collect a lot of things around us. But we may not have much in the way of joy and love. But if we make the purpose of our lives about making the world a better place, we'll probably profit by that in a material way, but there'll also be a lot of other blessings that will flow from that. And so it's important to have those intertwined and working in a way that is real powerful. So again, love is growing us. Love is growing us into that, if that's the seeds that we're selecting in life. And once we've selected those seeds, then the next thing is then to be rooted in it. For something to grow, the roots need to go deep and wide into the ground so they can draw the nutrients of the soil. And I like to think I like that phrase that talks about God as the ground of our being, that we're rooted in that and we're drawing out of that presence of God all the gifts of God, the life of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, and we're bringing it forth. And if we let that be what our lives are about and we're rooted in that, it will grow up in us and it'll grow us into something greater. So I invite you to have the sense that love is everywhere, that love is everywhere, and that we're a part of that in our lives. And Catherine Ponder has a book called The Prospering Power of Love. And she said she really started this book when a businessman came to her one time. She was doing a series of articles about good business. And the businessman said, well, when are you going to do an article on love? She says, well, what does love have to do to business? And he says, love has everything to do with business. If you have love as what you're about, then your business will thrive. And so she ended up writing a whole book about it. And she tells about a group of people who got together as a prayer group focusing on divine love. They would each bring their own prayer list. But rather than sharing the list and what was wrong with the people and the circumstances, they would each keep their list quiet to themselves and just pray. And here's their prayer. It said that quietly they placed their hands on their individual prayer lists while they affirmed together statements of divine love. One of them was, divine love is doing its perfect work in and through me now. And then for each other and for their prayer lists, divine love is doing its perfect work in and through you now. And they said as they continued in that over the weeks, some amazing things began to happen. One of the ladies in the group had some friends that she'd been having a difficult time with, some misunderstandings. And about the third or fourth week into their prayer time, her friends actually showed up at the prayer group to join them. And so there's a whole shift that was there. Another lady said one of the times they were praying and she was thinking about a difficulty she was having in some of her relationships. And she heard some popping sounds in the air. And one of the other ladies opened her eyes and looked at the same time, so she thought she heard it. So afterwards she said, did you hear those popping sounds while we were praying? She said, well, I thought I heard something, but I thought it was just my imagination or something. She says, no, I think as my hard thoughts and feelings were being dissolved in our prayer time as we focused on love. And she said that as she moved through her life in the coming weeks, she saw these difficulties that had been so hard and difficult for her. All of a sudden ways were opened up and there were new blessings that were coming forth. Catherine Ponder said she also talked with a doctor who showed her a book, a medical book, on psychosomatic illnesses. And she said the interesting thing was that these illnesses all had a similar basis. So there was a case about heart disorders, and it's one of the reasons listed was love was needed. There were skin disorders, and it says need for approval, which is another thing about love. Stomach disorders, it said, love is needed. There was another, chronic fatigue. It says the psychosomatic reasons were depression, insecurity, and a need for love. Even for a headache or migraine, one of the reasons listed was insecurity and a need for love. So here, illness after illness after illness is listed that part of the cause of that was the need for love. And so many times we're looking for someone else to love us. We're looking for love to come to us from someone else. But the truth is, we are already love. And if we want to experience love in our lives, we have to know that and begin to express it. That's how we feel love. Someone can say that they love us, but we only feel love if that love's in us. It's not because they've given it to us. It's because we've discovered that that's what we are. And we're letting it live out. We're letting it express. And so when we're rooted in that love, it can grow in us in a powerful way, and in a greater way. I'm always amused sometimes when I'll hear someone talking to a couple that have a lot of kids. And they say, well, do you have enough love with all those kids? And what I usually hear is, oh, we have more love. Because love isn't divided. It's multiplied when there's more. And so that's what we want to see, is that ability to grow into something else. And so here's an image I invite you to work with, is to stake out in your life heart territories. So I just imagine for yourself that where you're standing, you're at the bottom end of a heart, and you're just going to open up a heart territory wherever you are. So that when you're talking with someone, they don't need to know what you're doing. Just imagine that you're opening up this heart territory that includes both of you in that. When you're at home, you know, with your family, with the people in your home, just imagine that your whole home is this heart territory, that you've embraced it with divine love. And anything that comes in is going to be blessed by that love. Any person that comes in is going to be influenced by that love. You don't have to change them. So at work, you know, if you work in a cubicle, make that a territory that's the heart, and expand that to include the boss's office. You know, expand that to include, you know, where your customers, where your vendors are, everybody is a part of. Just see you establishing that heart territory. In your neighborhood, see that. See it as a heart territory. Years ago, when I was at the church in Merced, I did a lesson one time about blessing people and using your imagination with a love bomb. You imagine you just got this love bomb and you just heave it at them. And we had a guy who was coming to church, and he came to church for two reasons. He came because his wife wanted him to come, and because we had food. So he wasn't necessarily that interested in our unity message, but he was there for this lesson on love bombs. And he told me later on that it worked. They had a dog next door, the neighbor's dog, that would bark at night. And it bugged him. And so imagine one night he had this love bomb and he just tossed it over the fence. He says, the amazing thing is the dog was quiet after that. And then he thought, I could use one for my mom, but it needs to be one of those intercontinental ballistic love bombs. It's got to be a big one to work on her. And he said he did that, and what he found was that his mom didn't really change, but he changed. He changed the way he thought about her, which changed the relationship. And so his experience in that relationship was different because he was able to work out of love. So when you establish that sense of that this is a heart territory, that I'm living in this territory of love, then you will find that it's blessing you, and you'll feel it more and more. So if you're ever going to grow anything, one of the things that helps is manure, right? And some of us have lots of manure in our lives, don't we? And one of the things about manure is that what it shows us is something that you may not want can actually be helpful. And so what we need to learn to practice is to look at the facts. But what underlies the facts are the truth. Because the facts are temporary. The facts will change. But there's this underlying eternal truth of who we are as spiritual beings, who other people are as spiritual beings, and this presence of love that's able to work in and through all things as a blessing, even when it doesn't start out that way. I was talking with a woman this week, and she was telling a story that she was with her son, and he had a project he needed to work on in the library, needed to do some research. So she was going to take him to the library so he could do his research, and she figured it was going to take him about an hour, and she had her laptop, and she was going to work on this winning proposal that was going to make a difference for her business. So she had her laptop, and just as they got to the library, her sister called her on the phone. her sister who never gets to the point and, you know, is always has all these dramas going on in her life. And so she wanted to work on this proposal. So her sister calls her up, and her sister is telling her how much she loves her. And she's going on and on about how much she loves her. And this woman's getting anxious and upset because she's got this proposal that she needs to work on for her business. And she's not really listening to her sister. And finally says, you know, I've got this project I need to work on. I can't talk to you right now. And she hung up on her sister. And her son is there listening to this. She says, you need to call your sister back. So she called her sister back. And her sister's sobbing and crying, you don't love me, you know, this whole thing. And so she was on the phone for like 20 minutes with her sister, hung up on her a couple times, but she kept calling her back. But she lived in regret for a week. She was trying to save a couple minutes, and it ended up, you know, messing up her whole week because she couldn't be present in a way of blessing for her sister. And so she thought she was going to save herself some time, but it didn't work that way because she cut herself off. She cut herself off. And so we have to recognize that in those situations, that when we have something like that happen, it's a call for us to go underneath the facts to something deeper. And in telling that story to a group of people, those of us who heard her tell that story and got what that was about say, okay, I need to make sure that I'm taking time for the people who are important to me, that I know what's real, what I know what's valuable, I know what the real profit is in this circumstance, is not just what I think I'm going to get done, but this experience of love that I can share with someone else. And the lady telling the story said, I think I've got it. She was a type A personality. She says, I think I've realized what I've been missing, and I'm going to change the way that I do things. So even those experiences that feel like manure can be something that's a blessing for us if we learn and grow from them. I always love, Leo Biscay used to tell the story about a woman who came to him complaining about how awful her husband was. And Leo says, well, what does he do? He says, well, he squeezes the toothpaste in the middle. It says, you're supposed to roll it up from the end. And he squeezes it in the middle, and it's just always a mess. And so Leo Biscaglia said, why don't you get another tube of toothpaste? So that he can have his to squeeze in the middle, and you can have that one to roll up. Because if that's the only thing that you have to complain about for your husband, you're very lucky. So again, many times we look at something and we see what's wrong and we forget that underlying is this blessing that's at work in our lives. I was talking to another Unity minister about a month and a half ago. And she was telling me that she calls our daily word line every day. And she says, I really feel blessed by that. She said, although sometimes it doesn't seem like you're really present when you record those. And there's a part of me that was ready to object, you know, this whole thing. And I thought, no, another part of me said, just listen. And so I said, okay, well, that's interesting. I'll have to think about that. And so I prayed about it a couple of days, and I thought, well, you know, I'm faithful when I do this. I'm, you know, think of it as a prayer time. I think about the people who are calling in and think about them being connected to God as I read the daily word and we pray together. I thought, but maybe there's something more. And so I found that as I'm doing the daily words over the last month or so, that there's been a deepening for me, that it's moved into an even deeper prayer experience. And so I was talking with her about a week ago. She said, I noticed a difference when I call the daily word. And I said, well, it's because of you, because of what you said. I thought about it and I prayed about it, and it's called me to something more. Now, I could have taken offense at what she said. What do you mean you don't think I'm doing, you know? But I remembered there was an exercise I did years ago in a workshop, and they gave us these little 3x5 cards. And on one side of the card, it said, tell me more. And on the other side of the card, it said, this is not about me. And they said, to imagine that when someone's talking to you, and particularly if they're complaining, that you're holding this card. You don't actually hold it, but in your mind you hold it. And you're showing the side to them that says, tell me more. And you're showing the side to yourself that says, this is not about me. So that you can be present to them and you can find out more about what's going on. And when I've done this, when I practice, what I found is that even when someone's complaining, as I hear more, as I encourage them to talk about, usually they resolve it in their own mind. And I don't have to say anything. Many times when someone's complaining to us, we're building up our response, right? We're building up our defense so that when they finally be quiet, I can tell them, you know, what's real here. And so I found that when I don't think that I have to defend myself, they're not defensive. When I am established in love, love works in them because I'm trusting it for myself. I see it working in them. So this whole thing of manure can be very powerful for us when we learn to frame it with love. If you've ever had a painting or a photograph that you put in a frame, it changes the way you see the picture, doesn't it? And so it's the same thing. If we have a situation, a circumstance, a relationship, and we decide, okay, I'm going to frame this in love, it'll change the way that you see that other person. It'll change the way that you see yourself, which is the most essential part of it. And you will show up different for others as well. Years ago, Unity used to publish a magazine called Good Business, and it was about bringing spiritual practices into business. And there was a short little article called How to Pray, and it was written by Phillips Brooks. And it's not really about how praying, it's really about an attitude to have. He says, do not pray for easy lives, but pray to be strong people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Every day you will wonder at yourself at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. If we know that that's the seeds we've been working with, that we're rooted in it, and we take the manure and find a blessing in it. So the other part of growing is, I came up with this acronym here, love. Let out vibrant energy. So when someone throws manure on your life, just let out vibrant energy. That's what it's about. So prune, that's the last part of this process. I don't know how many of you remember, at the other end of our top parking lot here are some bottle brush plants. And about, I guess it's 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago, David pruned them severely. And I got a lot of complaints about him killing those plants. But look at them now. They provide shade for four parking spaces in that parking lot because they've gotten so big. Because he cut them back so they could grow into something else. And for us, sometimes there's things that we need to cut out of our lives so that love of God can grow us into a greater expression of that love. Many times when something happens, we want those people to be different. We want them to show up in a different way. And the truth is, whenever we're thinking that they need to be different, we're the ones that are stuck. And we have to say, that's the way they are. What is love calling me to do? What is love calling me to be? Because, again, so many times, you know, we'll take a snapshot. Somebody will say or do something. They'll take a snapshot and say, oh, that's the way they are. That's what they did. Did you see what they did? Did you see what they said to me? Did you hear that? And we carry that around for weeks and years, sometimes decades. Did you know what they did to me? When they've already moved on, they've already changed, but we're not living with that. We're still living in that past. And that's what forgiveness is about, is recognizing is that I need to let go, not for their benefit, but for mine. I need to prune that so I can grow into something else. Remember that word instead? That was in our scripture today. Some of you may, who have been parents, may have taken a class on tough love. And one of the words that they teach parents is nevertheless. I came to love that word. My children hated it. Because, Dad, everybody else after class night is going to this party over at this house. Nevertheless, you are not going. Oh, Dad, that's not fair. Nevertheless, you're not going. You're ugly. You're fat. I don't like you. I don't love you. I'll never love you again. Nevertheless, you're not going. And it became a wonderful, because I didn't have to get involved in what they were trying to draw me into. It was just, nevertheless, this is the way it is. And it was a wonderful gift. I still remember one time when one of our sons, they were seniors in high school, and one of them wanted to do something, and I had told them no, he could not. And I was 3 inches taller than him, but he outweighed me by about 40 pounds. So I remember standing almost eye to eye, looking at me, and I was saying no, and I could see in his eyes, I could see the thought. I could take the old man out. I saw that in his eyes. And in my mind, I just said, nevertheless. And he backed down. So whenever we find that those situations, and because we're still growing up and we're still human, we're not fully realized expressions of the Christ yet, But, you know, that's our goal. So we'll find ourselves where the stuff catches in our minds and catches in our hearts and catches us. And we just need to say to ourselves, nevertheless, love is what I am. Nevertheless, God's love is here to bless me and to fill me and to teach me, to show me another way. Nevertheless, I am blessed. No matter what people say, no matter what the situation looks like, nevertheless, I am one with God. That's the gift that we can give to ourselves in this, and to recognize that it's working. I read a story this week that really touched me, that shows just a shift in consciousness, how love can move and grow into something else. It's a story, an old man gets on a bus, and he's carrying a bouquet of red roses. He's got a dozen red roses, and he sits down next to a young man, and the young man looks at this bouquet of red roses, it's Valentine's Day. He says, somebody's getting a nice Valentine's gift, aren't they? And the old man said, yes, they are. So they're driving along, not saying much, and all of a sudden, the old man notices the young man is looking at the roses again, and he says, do you have a wife or a girlfriend? He says, I've got a girlfriend. He says, I've got a Valentine's card. I'm going to see her right now. And the old man said, oh, that's good. So then the old man got to his bus stop. He got up, and he started to leave, and then he turned around, and he gave his flowers to the young man. And he says, I just had a feeling that I should give these to you to give to your girlfriend. I'll explain it to my wife, and I think she'll be happy that I did this. So the old man gets off the bus, and as the bus is pulling away, the young man notices that the man's walking into a cemetery. And he had brought those roses for his wife who'd passed on, but he decided that the greater gift would be to give them to the young man. When we learn to keep our hearts open, both at the front end and at the back end, then what happens is that we'll be moved to do things that we may wonder about later, but know that that was the right thing to do. Yes, that was about love. That was about not just love, but it was about growing love, growing as an expression of love, and sharing love in a greater way in the world. And those opportunities are around us all the time. And with our hearts open to that, we'll find ourselves growing into that. Remember when I started out talking about charisma? What was charisma? It's when the people around us feel special because we were there. Not they don't necessarily think that we're special, but they feel special because we knew who we were and we know who they were. Love, created by God as love. And by God, we're living that love and we're expressing that love and sharing that love. That's what growing as love is about. Let us pray. Dear God, we do give thanks to know that you have made us in your image and likeness of love, and that we have the opportunity in every moment to be that love and to share that love, to let it be a blessing for others. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.